We continue in the fifth week of our seventh week sermon series, the seven I am statements spoken by Jesus. So far, we have covered, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the gate, and I am the shepherd. Today, we cover, I am the resurrection and the life. It's kind of a twofer. We're going to be in John chapter 11. You might want to turn there for those of you that like to read along, because we're going to read almost the entire thing. This is the story of Lazarus. But we're not going to focus on Lazarus. I know it's a surprise, but we're going to focus on Jesus. Jesus is going to be our focal point because we're doing the I am statements of Jesus. So for context, we're going to read the whole story because unbeknownst to all of my other readings of this, I didn't realize that Jesus was teaching the entire time about being the resurrection and the life. The entire time. So I was going to recap it. And then when I spent more time with God, God's like, no, you got to read the whole thing, because that was like having to pull out this nugget and that nugget. It's really pretty cool when you've read something so many times and then you read it again and it's a whole different reading. That's really cool. The living word. So let's begin. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling them, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. Then Jesus arrived at Bethany. He was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The heaped people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave cloths, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. I in the resurrection and the life. I'm going to reiterate a few verses from the beginning to the end on what I was kind of telling you, how God kind of rolled this out for me and how I never saw it before. Is Jesus is teaching about the resurrection of life all from starting at verse 4. Silly me was going to focus on verse 25 and on. Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. That's verse 4. Verse 11, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. Verse 14 through 15, he spoke more plainly to the disciples. Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. Verse 23, your brother will rise again. Verse 25 through 26, yes, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? And then Martha responded with a statement of faith. Yes, Lord, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Jesus says, I am the resurrection, the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. I am the resurrection can also be stated a different way for our understanding. I am the power over death. Jesus, while on earth, and as recorded in the Bible, rose 3 people from death. Jairus' daughter in Luke 8, the widow's son in Luke 7, also found in other gospels, Lazarus in John 11, and then Jesus himself will rise from the dead on the third day from Jesus' death in John 20. Jesus says, I am the resurrection of the life. I am the life. For our understanding, it can be restated. I am the source of life. Jesus mentioned this back in John 6, 32 through 33. I am the bread of God. I am the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Remember the bread? Giving life to the world. God gave manna for a physical need for the people at time. And then God gave Jesus the bread of life for our spiritual need. I am the power over death, and I am the source of life. I am the resurrection and life. Physically, Jesus is raising Lazarus from the death. The crowd, Mary and Martha, were shown Jesus' power as bestowed upon Jesus by God. Verse 40. Let's go back to that. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? And Jesus says a prayer to God, and he says it out loud. He didn't have to, but he did. Why? Because he's always thinking about us. Jesus is always thinking about you, and Jesus is always doing things on your behalf. So he said it out loud for the sake of all those people standing here. All of these people standing here, we're sitting, so that they will believe you sent me. Always trying to save this Savior of ours. Remember, Jesus is the gate to salvation. We talked about that a couple weeks. Jesus is the gate of salvation, the only way. That is why you must believe to see the glory of God, to see Jesus come after you, searching as a shepherd to guide you, to resurrect you from spiritual hunger, from spiritual darkness, as Jesus is the bread of life and the light of the world. Church, listen to Jesus shout into your tomb, "Come out." See, Jesus resurrecting our lives starts when we accept Jesus as our Savior. You don't have to wait for physical death, for these bodies to fail, for salvation, for resurrection. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your resurrection begins. The way, the truth, and the life. We'll talk about that next week. Jesus is working to show you God's glory for a revival within your heart here on earth, which will sustain in our physical death, leading to our eternal life with God in heaven. Let's pretend we are Marthas. Is there a time where you have said and felt the statement of faith that Martha did in verse 27? And you meant it. I mean, you came and you said that statement of faith with gusto, just like I could imagine Martha here. "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." What a powerful statement of faith. But then, when faced with a spiritual battle, her brother had died, or whatever, fill in. Remember, we're all Marthas right now. But when faced with a spiritual battle, you cannot see how Jesus will or is working on your behalf. Instead, all that is there is in your sight is the physical nature of something. That's all Martha could see. Like over here on this column of the Bible, she's saying a huge statement of faith. You go just one column over of writing, and she's like, "Man, no. What I'm seeing in the physical here, Jesus, it is going to stink. This body has been decaying for 4 days." She moved out of the spiritual, and about 10 verses later, she moved into the physical. The anticipation of what is in your head can wrap around like the smell of a decaying body, of a decaying situation. Our faith can be tested. It's not that Martha didn't mean that statement of faith. She meant it. But then she was faced with something that she just could not see. How Jesus was going to be the resurrection and the life here. Our faith is so important in these moments because we must believe to see God's glory. So when Jesus told Lazarus to come out and Lazarus came out, Jesus had raised people from the dead before. But usually it meets how the Bible stories are with Darius's daughter and the widow's son. It seems like the person just died and then Jesus was right there. But in this particular story, Lazarus is dead for 4 days, already put in the tomb, body completely prepared, in a cave with a stone rolled over it already. They'd moved to the next stages of grief. And then Jesus shows up. "Roll that stone away. Come out of that tomb. Unwrap that person and let them go." Faith is so important in these moments. Church, come out of your unbelief, whatever those pockets are. Note I said pockets. Most of the folks in this room and on Facebook are believers. Some of us might be still working on that. But even if you're a believer, there's pockets. Because us humans, we like to compartmentalize things. That's what I mean by pockets. And so maybe you're at a position, we're all at a different place, where maybe 75% of everything you give to God, and then there's that 25% where I know better than you, God. This is my little piece. I understand how it works. I've been here before. I'm a problem solver in this area. Thank you very much, and thank you for that blessing that you've given me. This is my piece. You can have the 75. I will follow you, and I will stay my statement of faith all day long. But this little pocket right here, this is going to be mine. We all have that pocket. And see, what our faith journey is, maybe you start that pie with just 1% to Jesus. And then you grow on your faith journey, and then maybe you're given 20%, 50%, 75%. 90%, 95%, can we get a 99? Like, this is our faith journey, but we all have these pockets, and it's important for us to understand where those pockets are, because that's where you've got blinders. That's where you might be spinning around, wondering, and then the devil gets in there, you see, in those pockets, and starts to say, but what if Jesus can't resurrect this? What if this situation's too far decayed? What if this life that Jesus gives just can't be given here? That's why it's important to continue to work on your faith, continue to work on your belief, and continue to work on your trust so you give more of your pockets. Martha meant what she said in that statement of faith. I do not doubt that. But when she was confronted with bringing her brother out of the tomb that he had been entombed in, it didn't go that far. But man, do you think if she was at 75% watching her brother walk out of that tomb, watching somebody run up to him and unwrap those grave claws, I bet her faith cup got filled up a little bit more. She's probably 85, maybe even 90% after that. Come out of your unbelief in whatever pocket that is. Give it all to Jesus. Surrender all. We sang about that. But church, also understand you're a work in progress, little whip. Faith isn't always a light switch, so be patient with yourself too, but keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. You're not going to be perfect at everything. Faith is like a muscle too. You got to work it. You got to read the word. You got to be in prayer. You got to surround yourself with people that are like-minded. I thought about this morning when I was doing my workout. I'm on a journey to eliminate pain from my body because I sit at a desk all day, so I'm always like this, and I get zoned in, and I work long hours. And so, I guess part of it is I pray, but most of it is I decided to do Pilates. And so I'm on a 30-day journey of Pilates to see how it works out to get my core. I'm on day 26, I believe. And there are about three exercises that this competitive person is so mad that I can't do. But I'm 26 days in, and there's been three rest days. So I'm only 23 days into doing exercises that I'm not accustomed to doing. I'm more of a cardio weightlifting person. And there is some awkward positions that you get in, and then you have to lift your legs up, and you got to lift your body up off the ground. And I cannot, if anybody can do a corkscrew, please. I cannot do that exercise at all. I can't do it. There's other exercises that I couldn't do at the beginning. And by gum golly, I did one of them today. And I could not do it the first couple times it came around. but I've been exercising my core muscles, and I was able to do that one. That dang corkscrew came up, and I could not do that today, but I did the other one. Yeah. The one that you can't. See how faith can grow? You go on a journey. I'm on a 30-day exercise journey. There's certain pockets of exercises that, man, this body just won't do yet. But I'm working on those muscles. You work on your faith. I only have 2 out of 3 now that I can't do, that I haven't modified to do. Well, I can sort of do it. But man, wait till the day I can do that sucker. Jamie's going to still be sleeping. I'll be like, Jamie, I'm going to wake her up. You got to continue to work those muscles. You don't give up on yourself and don't give up on Jesus. It's not Jesus's fault that you can't do that silly exercise yet. Keep your faith muscle working. Keep believing and looking for Jesus in all those situations. Because one day I will do that corkscrew. And one day that faith pocket or that pocket that you have struggle with giving it all to Jesus, you won't even think about it one day. That circumstance will happen again or that whatever that is. And you'll have Jesus right there. It's a journey. It's a faith journey. Church, do not doubt yourself because you do a statement of faith like Martha. And then there's that one circumstance that maybe you just don't do the perfect Christian thing that you think you should do in that moment. As Jesus has grace on you, have grace on yourself. And just say, Jesus, I don't know how you're going to do this thing, but I'm inviting you into it today. And I'm going to believe. And you'll see that Lazarus come out of that tomb. Don't give up on yourselves. Don't give up on Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Come out of your unbelief, whatever those pockets are. Increase your faith to see Jesus in your life more fully. Unwrap yourselves and each other from those grave clothes that you've wrapped yourself up into. And let go by letting God. Do you see why they had to unwrap Lazarus? He's all wrapped up. Like, I imagine him coming out like a penguin. He's got this stuff all wrapped up around him. That is such a great moment right there. Unwrap him and let him go. Unwrap yourself. Unwrap each other. Let go and let God. The resurrection of the life. You're reviving. It's revival in your heart. Let go by letting God's glory shine in your lives. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here today, God. And giving us this really good lesson, God, that we are a work in progress, but you never give up on us. You're going to come to all the spots that we are, God, just like you came to all the spots, even though there was danger. You came to Lazarus, even though it seemed impossible. Your glory was shown by resurrecting Lazarus and giving life, God. And you do that every single day in our spiritual lives, God. We pray that we can see that more clearly each and every day, God. And we pray, God, that we keep working on it. We stay the course on the journey, God, and that we allow you to just take pocket after pocket of pocket so that our faith battery continues to get built up, God. God, we stand right before you now, and we give ourselves to you, God. And I pray, Lord, that we trust you more and we give a little more every day and that we do not give up on you or ourselves. But we keep going, God. We keep seeking you. We keep seeking that resurrection and that life that you so desperately are seeking us to give us, God. In your precious and glorious name we pray. Amen.